You know what? I wanted just to finish our service today with a final proclamation. You listened, paid attention throughout the program. You saw there were several proclamations given concerning Christ. And this morning, I want to finish the service considering Christ's own proclamation concerning himself. Would you pray with me? Holy Father, I thank you for the opportunity to worship you. We thank you for the children who proclaim the good news about Christ's salvation and hope, eternal life, God's love, his gift of salvation to us. And Lord, we thank you that another generation has heard the good news. Lord, I pray that they would understand it, that you would open their hearts, that they would believe and receive, Lord, the greatest gift of all, this Christmas, salvation, forgiveness of sin, eternal life through Jesus Christ. In your name we pray, amen. Sometimes, with pastors especially, Christmas gets a pretty bad rap. You ever notice that? In fact, the most trouble I ever got myself into as a pastor was accidentally letting the cat out of the bag. Do you know what I mean by that? And I wanted to make sure our kids are gone, right? Because I was accused one holiday back of letting the kids know that there was not a Santa Claus. And I did not know I had done that. I was trying to tell a story about, you know, my family and the year we found out that there was no Santa Claus. And I didn't realize there were still kids in there. And I tell you what, the backlash that I got for that was the greatest scandal I ever committed as a pastor. I was trending on social media, pictures of Grinch everywhere. I had no idea till I got home, and my wife's like, "Honey, did you see this?" I'm like, "No." And I tell you what, pastors especially get a bad rap of kind of destroying Christmas. And often we talk down about Christmas. I'm even guilty of this. Sometimes I'm like, "Well, what's your favorite holiday?" And I love to tell people around Christmas, "It's not Christmas, it's Thanksgiving," you know. You ever hear pastors say that? We like to say how much we love Thanksgiving and how it's far more superior holiday than Christmas because it has the right focus. It hasn't lost its focus. And so many times as pastors, and again, I'm guilty of this, of kind of decreasing the significance and kind of, you know, poking little jabs at the Christmas holiday, how it is not superior to Thanksgiving, but especially, what's the big one? If you're a pastor, really, this should be your favorite holiday. Easter, right? And so a lot of times you'll find pastors are the most spiritual among us talk about how Easter is the most important holiday, that because it's about the death, burial, and of course the resurrection, and how now Christmas, oh, it's not even, you know, Christ wasn't even born in December, it was sometime in the spring. You hear all this, right? And the wise men weren't even there, they came, you know, a couple years later. We love to kind of destroy the image of Christmas. I was thinking about Christmas, and I have to confess to you, it was when I was thinking about this message, I finally got a new perspective on Christmas, and it's important, okay? Now, this is not rhetorical. It's going to be a question, so I'm going to embarrass some of you if you answer, but I expect some answers. No, actually, your answer might be more, I don't know. Your answer is probably going to be just as good as mine, but I thought about this in a different way, Christmas and its significance. What is the major difference between Christmas and Easter? Okay, now you're all afraid to answer. So as we consider these two holidays, what is the significance between the two different holidays and what makes them different? What is their focus? So what is the major difference between Christmas and Easter? Anybody want to take a stab? All right, so what? Well, that's a really great way. She did well. You're all chickens, see? You could have done so. Birth and rebirth. So one focuses on the birth of Christ, and the other one focuses on, and I say, well, what do you mean rebirth? Resurrection, right? New birth. That's significant. That's a great way to look at it. Anybody else want to take a stab at the difference between Christmas and Easter? Glad you came this morning. Thank you. Welcome. You couldn't have had Christmas without, or Easter without Christmas, right? You had to have Christmas in order to enjoy Easter. Something else. Maybe another person wants to Mr. Valentine. Here's another holiday here. Job started, job finished. These are all great answers, and maybe you have something just as equally valuable. And I, for the first time, and I've thought about all different reasons, what was the significance of Christmas and Easter. And as I was thinking about the proclamation and preparing for this message, I began to meditate on this aspect of what makes Christmas so special, and how it could even be comparable to the greatest of holidays, most pastors would say, the one that celebrates the resurrection. But there is a great significance. In fact, I'm even going to say Christmas and what we should focus on at Christmas time is of greatest significance. You see, Easter focuses on the work of Christ. And of course, it's true, unless you have the death, the burial, and resurrection, there is no hope, there is no peace, there is no salvation, there is no eternal life. So what could be more significant to celebrate than Easter? The work of Christ, his death, his passion for us, his love for us, the Father's love displayed for us in this gift of life. The one who gave his life as a ransom for many, one who would lay down his life, an innocent man, to shed his blood for our sins so that we could be free. And then he rose from the dead. What could be more significant than that? Christmas. You say, Pastor, it's blasphemy. What happened? What are you doing? No, it's Easter. I need you to listen to me, because I don't want you to get this wrong or misunderstand me this morning. I don't want to create another scandal greater than the year I was accused of being Grinch. But the focus of Easter is not of any value unless you understand the focus of Christmas. So Easter, what did I say it was about? The work of Christ. Christmas is about the person of Christ. I want you to think about that. Christmas is about the person of Christ, who he is. And if you understand who he is, it is what gives Easter its significance. Unless he is the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Son of David, the Son of Man, the eternal Creator, the one sent from the Father, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, the gate, the door, living water, the great I am, Easter has no significance. And listen, this is where you need to pay attention for a minute. There have been many who have been in history who have given their life as a ransom for many. There have been many innocent men who have died for the crime and the sins of others. There have even been those who have done it willingly. There have been men in history, great heroes of history, that gave their lives to save their people. And unless Jesus is the resurrection and the life, his death is only of equal value to the other heroes of history. There are even those in history who have risen from the dead. There was another man who the Jews plotted to murder because of his resurrection just prior to the death and resurrection of Jesus, Lazarus. And there were others in history who have risen from the dead. You and I will enjoy one day, and we have the hope of our own resurrection. But what makes Jesus' resurrection significant and that of value? It is because he is the resurrection and the life. He is innocent without any sin. He is God in human flesh, the Creator. And it is who Jesus is that makes his resurrection far more significant. It is he who, you know, all others who rise from the dead do it on his power or through his power. You see, with all the trappings of Christmas, do not lose its focus, its value. It is about the person of Jesus Christ. It is about who he is. And it is who he is that makes every other story a story to ponder and consider and to celebrate. So who is he? I don't want you to leave this morning without understanding who Jesus is. And we heard the proclamations. In fact, it's wonderful to hear the proclamations of others, because often what we say about ourselves is of little or no value. If you're truly significant, others will proclaim your greatness. You don't need to toot your own horn. And so it's beautiful that as we consider in a minute what Jesus said about himself, we heard the proclamations of others. Probably the greatest proclamation in all of Scripture is the one from the Father who said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And it is the proclamation of the prophets, it's the proclamation of the angels in heaven, it is the proclamation of the Father in heaven that allows the proclamation of Jesus to be valued and trusted and believed. There are many proclamations. I kind of threw all kinds of them out this morning, but I want to focus on one of the most famous proclamations Jesus made concerning himself, and it's in John chapter 14. Many of you probably know this passage. In John chapter 14, just prior to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, just prior to that Easter celebration holiday, Jesus was explaining to his disciples, his followers, what was going to happen. And look at it at the beginning of John chapter 14. It says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." And Thomas answers him, one of the disciples. He says here, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, now listen to this. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me," or through me. What was Christ's proclamation concerning himself here? That he was the way, the truth, and the life. The only way of salvation. The only way to the Father's house. The only way to eternal life. And that's what we proclaim to you this morning. First and foremost, I want you to leave here understanding that there is no other way. Jesus is the only way of hope, the only way of peace, the only way of life. Every other road, every other way, every other individual that promises you peace and life and forgiveness and hope will eventually come to a dead end. That road will end in death. There is no other way. Every other way will one day fail you, or will one day bring you short of life and the Father. Jesus revealed the way, or revealed the very Father when he came. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus reveals the way to the Father. There, Acts 4:12 says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is only one name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." 1 Timothy 2:15 says, "For there is one God, and there is only one mediator between God and men, that is the man Christ Jesus." There is no other way of salvation. Jesus not only is the way, the only way of life, the only way of salvation, the only way of perfect, lasting, eternal peace and life. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth." And one of the focuses, or the focus of our church next year, is going to be on this idea of truth. In John 17:17, I'm giving you this spoiler alert. We have a new verse of the year, a new focus for the church, and it's something we're going to focus on about how Jesus is the giver of truth, and that truth sanctifies us as his followers, or sets us apart. And today, you look at the world, there is so much confusion and so many proclamations and claims, and your head's spinning. And all the things that we used to take for granted or we agreed on and we knew for certain, it seems like this generation says, we don't know anything anymore. Yet, you and I, because of Christ and the words of Christ and the Word of God, we have truth. We have something that the world lacks. We have truth. We have direction, and God's Word is true. It's what Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them or set them apart in the truth. Your word is true. And God's word reveals so much truth to us. It reveals the truth of God's will. It reveals the truth about our fallen, broken will. It shows us the very heart of God, the very will of God, and it gives us life. Reminded of one of Jesus' followers when he was considering all the other disciples that were following Jesus at the time, because of Jesus' truth teaching, were really perplexed, and they began to leave him in droves. And Jesus looks at his followers and he says, are you guys going to leave me too? And they're like, yeah, this is a really hard teaching, but where are we going to go? Who else has words of life? And God's word gives us truth and life, the very words of Jesus. Which brings us to the last proclamation in this passage. Not only is Jesus the way, not only is Jesus the truth, Jesus is the life. Jesus created life. We see that in John 1:3. All things were made through him. Jesus gives life. We see this in John 1:4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Not only does Jesus give life in himself, but his words give life. We see this in John 6:68 that I mentioned. O Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Not only does Jesus give eternal life, but Jesus sustains life. His words sustain life. Colossians 1:17 says that in him all things hold together. And it is God's word itself that we go to in times of uncertainty and unrest, as we live in this world full of pain and sin that robs us of our joy and focus. We find that in God's word that we can be like a tree planted by a river of water. We would be planted fruitful and not wither, but prosper. This Christmas season, I want you not to lose focus, not be distracted or led astray by something that is shiny or promising you some sort of fulfillment. Never lose sight of the person of Christ, and do not diminish this holiday and its significance or its importance, because we focus on the person of Christ. And again, there were many proclamations of miracle children in Scripture. Even John the Baptist preceded Jesus. But of all those special births, what made the birth of Jesus so significant was his Father was the eternal Father, and he is the eternal Son, and in him is life. Look to Jesus for life. Look to Jesus for salvation, and teach your children and grandchildren to worship him and know him.